actually, it's really kind of wonderfully appropriate for this Sunday, first Sunday of Advent, which is the Advent of Hope. And my talk title is The Light of Hope Uplifts Us. And I want us to just kind of explore what the word hope means to us, because it oftentimes carries a lot of connotations. So I'm going to open the floor up. I have a few things I'm going to say, but I'm going to open the floor up to you. Those of you at home, please go ahead and post, and Susan will let me know if you guys are awake or if you're sitting there with your coffee and your bunny slippers and have nodded off, but I doubt it after that song that John just played. So come on, everybody, and let's join in. What does hope mean to you? Promise of the future. Yeah, Sue Ellen.
Well, my older answer would be it's kind of a pie in the sky thing, but it really might not happen. That's the older reason.
Well, and I really appreciate that, because there is an element in humanity's racial consciousness about, oh, it's something I can never have. I just hope for it, and it's this pie in the sky dream. Joy, were you going to say something?
Anticipation.
She peeked on my notes, but actually we come from the same background, but exactly, anticipation. And Tim said that. Yeah, Susan.
Donalyn Martin says faith, and Suzanne Gibbons says a solution or idea that I haven't thought of, soulfully divine.
Oh, everybody. You know what? All these words are all part of what was sort of bubbling and cooking in me as I really sat with, well, what is hope? And I know I've gone through iterations too. And, oh, yeah, another one, Susan.
And Vicki Thompson says, looking forward.
Looking forward. So, oh, yeah, go ahead.
Well, the definition of hope is the expectation of things not yet seen.
You, okay. You want to come read this scripture? No. Thank you. Absolutely. It's the expectation of things not yet seen. And Merriam-Webster Dictionary says, one, to cherish a desire with anticipation. Two is to desire with expectation of obtainment. And three is to expect with confidence and trust. And so we oftentimes also use the word faith in association with hope. And yet sometimes the word faith has as much connotation as the word hope to older concepts of, you know, just having blind faith in something outside of myself will accomplish. And for me, as I sat with, I'd liked trusting, because I can lay hold of something in the longing of my soul that trusts in that which is coming, arriving. That's what Advent is about. That's what Christmas time is, of that recognition of moving towards the birth of Christ, which historically happened in whatever way it did, but also metaphysically for us and in a spiritual sense, it is calling us in order to touch into a greater consciousness in ourselves, a birthing for us. And so as we lay hold of hope, we can put the word faith with it, we can put the word trust, but I love the idea of anticipation, excitement, and expectancy. Susan, what other words did we get?
Well, Cecilia says, hope is elusive.
Ah, and how many of you feel sometimes hope is elusive? Yeah. And so in scripture, a little bit of a definition, and from Hebrews 11, which you shared with us. Thank you so much. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Absolutely. Right on. And, oh, yes, yes, yes.
This is from Emily Dickinson. She always said, hope is a thing with feathers that perches in my soul. She liked that quote.
You guys are taking all my stuff. I must have been channeling Mary Lou yesterday, and, you know, so that's coming later, but you are right, but that's perfect. It's like so great because we have conversation. That's what gathering together here on a Sunday or first service is all about, engagement. You know, and recognizing that, you know, I can pull some things together and I can toss them out, and yet it's your experience that you have and in your participation. So I'll get to that. And thanks, Mary Lou, for bringing that down. And the second portion of scripture that I was going to share is from 2 Corinthians 4:18, and it says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen." Edward S. Aim, who is a vlogger, he writes different articles. He said, "Hope is outreaching desire with expectancy of good. It is a characteristic of all living beings." And Emily Dickinson, most of us know her as a very famous American poet, says, "Hope is a thing with feathers in the soul, that with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tunes without the words and never stops at all." And Rebecca Solnit, who is a writer, a historian, and an activist, she said, "Hope is an embrace of the unknown." And I loved all of these definitions because for me, I recognized older concepts of hope kind of were in that place of, well, you're always in hope, but it never happens, versus this spiritual understanding of hope is the light in within my soul. It is the longing of my soul. It's the expression of infinite spirit in me that is calling me forward. Charles Fillmore, in Revealing Word, describes or defines the word expectation. It says anticipation of divine good, looking about for the wondrous benefits God has prepared for us. In every person is that which causes him always to hope for and to expect that which is good and true. This very expectation helps the good to become active. So friends, it's an understanding of the things then that block us in experiencing hope and the very real need to work into the expectation that draws forth into manifestation from substance. So now I'm going to engage with you again, and I'm going to say, okay, so what is it that blocks you from experiencing hope? And anybody can post online too, please let us know. Not understanding what it means. Oh, beautifully. So Jan was sharing about that hope. She's beginning to recognize, she has a little angel in the bathroom, and she's like, well, what is hope for me? And something was lit. It's that inner light of the presence of God, the inspiration that draws us forward with that expectancy. And the expectancy means that we are open and receptive. Susan, you had another one?
So Cecilia says, disappointment and absence of trust. Vicki Thompson says fear. Colleen says doubt. It's hard to hope when you haven't seen or experienced what you are hoping for.
Absolutely. And friends, those are the things that block us because we're afraid to hope because we don't want to be disappointed. And all the things that everyone shared. And because when we're in the space of going for something that is brand new, we cannot yet see it. It says the things that are as yet unseen. And we have a tendency to want to stay in what's familiar, don't we? It's like, well, at least I know this, and this is good enough. And if I dream about something, well, maybe it won't happen. And what ends up happening in that case, we block the energy and the purpose of the activity of hope in us, which is to draw us forward, which is to bring us into this place of expectancy. Hope is light from within, guiding us toward endless new possibilities. Hope is light from within, guiding us toward endless new possibilities. And if we begin to recognize the things that block our willingness to be in the space of the unknown, then we can live forward in absolute amazing new ways. From scripture in Psalms 39:7 from the Amplified Bible, it says, "And now, Lord, for what do I expectantly wait? My hope," and I put in, "my confident expectation is in you." So scripture is telling us not to trust in something outside of us. We tend to, it's kind of challenging as human beings because we have a God outside of us. We have the God present within us, the divine infinite spirit. But what do we expectantly wait for? And hope and the confident expectation, when it says is in you, it says it's speaking of outside of us, but it's in ourselves, friends. It's an expectation within ourselves that we have every potential and every possibility to manifest forward. If we go back to this very expectation helps the good become active. That's what Charles Fillmore said. And a quote from, many of you remember Amanda Gorman. She was the National Youth Poet Laureate that spoke at the inauguration. And she says, "The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light if we're only brave enough to see it." If we're only brave enough to be it. Powerful words. What a powerful young woman to have written. And that's like one little portion of the poem she wrote for the inauguration. The new dawn blooms as we free it. So we don't wait out there. We carry that sense of hope and expectancy that we put fifth principle in unity. We put feet to our expectations. We move forward. We step into. And William Faulkner goes on to say, "You cannot swim for no horizons unless you have courage to lose sight of the shore." And so this is a part of moving into an experience and the expectation, feeling that soul longing that is the light, the spark within us, the divine spark of hope calling us forward. We need to recognize that if we stay holding on to the fears, and that usually has to do with what has been in the past, how we've always been. It's like, well, this is good enough. And, oh, I don't want to reach for something too high. How many of you heard that? Well, you know, don't reach too high because that's, yeah. And those old ideas in us that keep us caged. And this is an opportunity to begin recognizing that the infinite flow of spirit that is the light of hope that draw within us, that draws us forward, is limitless and boundless. And because it isn't something solid that we can see, it's a little scarier to trust in it. And so it will take that willingness to let go of what we have always known, to be in what Charles Fillmore used to call the void. And he said, that's where creation starts. Because we can't create, when we stay with all the stuff that is old, we create in the space where we are willing to tune into and to access infinite substance of our universe. that as we lay hold of ideas, we draw them forth into expression. Susan, I know you had your hand up.
So Cecilia said, when we have hoped and been let down by God, finding hope anew is impossible.
Is impossible?
Impossible. When we have hoped and been let down.
Yeah. So how many of you have felt let down in hope? Haven't we all? Yeah. And we feel in those moments connecting with God, or whatever we consider to be God, is impossible because we have lost our trust. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, absolutely. You know, all the trials and the tribulations that Job went through and yet continued to move forward. And it is for us also to recognize that all of the disappointments that we experience in our lives, all of the fears, all the things that block us because we've tried something and it hasn't worked out as we expected, are an invitation to revision, to move forward differently, to know that what our head envisions is not always the true hope of the soul of our being. It's not always the true guidance of that inner godness, wisdom within us. And so when what we wanted out here is a disappointment because we thought, oh, this is great, this is going to work, this is wonderful. And then when we discover, maybe not so much in the way we expected from here, we can regroup and begin to practice living into hope by letting go the shore of the disappointment of past things that have happened, or whatever trust and whatever way we placed in God that didn't fit our outer expectations. We can let go of those tethers, those bags of sadness and disappointment and stuff. We can let them go in a moment as much as we're able. Oh my gosh, we're human. You know, it doesn't just, oh yeah, okay, I'll let that go, I'm done. No, and we recognize that. But we can let them go a little bit of a time that creates an opening, you know, where just the dawn, that first little light begins to come through that can then relight and rekindle our connection to infinite spirit and allow us to draw upon that sense of hope that is an inspiration, that is an expectation differently than we may have had before. Because we've all had disappointments, and that's a part of our human experience. And yet, we can always round the corner into that which is next. I don't know, for those of you who hike or are out in nature and you're along a trail, you know, and you go along, and I'm like always, well, I'll turn around after the next corner, you know, and then I go around the next corner and I see something new, and I'm like, okay, but I'm going to go around to the next corner. And there's something about that in our lives also that draws us forward into a willingness to receive in the heart of our expectation versus just from our intellectual human perception and expectation. And there is a difference. So when we talk about expectation, anticipation, and that activity of hope, let us remember to center into spirit, into beingness, and to step outside of how we perceive things just from a human perspective, to begin to choicefully exercise being open to that which is the void, to that which is the unknown, to something different and new, so that that hope and that inspiration can continue to guide us forward in ways we had not considered before. In scripture from Romans 12:12, it says, "Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient and keep on praying." It's continuing to allow to unfold all of infinite spirit and every potential. And from Romans 15:13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope." And so scripture often tends to talk about a God outside of ourselves, but if we can think of this as may the inspiration in the core of our being that is hope fill us with joy and peace as we trust in that, so that we can overflow with that sense of peace and that sense of hope. Robert Fulghum, who was an author and a Unitarian Universalist minister, said, "I believe that imagination is stronger than knowledge, that myth is more potent than history, that dreams are more powerful than facts, and that hope always triumphs." Former President Barack Obama says about hope, "Hope is that thing inside us that insists, despite all evidence to the contrary." We heard that, the disappointment. Now we can't trust in God anymore. "But that insists, despite all evidence to the contrary, that something better awaits us if we have the courage to reach for it, friends." Now granted, it takes a real willingness to do that, especially when we do are disillusioned and we have been disappointed. It's important to reach out to each other, to be uplifted by each other, to hold that sense of hope for each other. And I love this one by Shigenori Kamioko, and he says, "Find the seed at the bottom of your heart and bring forth a flower." So friends, even in those times of disillusionment and dissatisfaction and disappointment, when we are willing to step beyond that and to trust in infinite spirit within us to uplift us, to guide us forward into infinite possibilities, we create something anew. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with the Superman actor, Christopher Reeve, who had an accident riding a horse in a competition, broke his neck, and was, for the rest of his life, a quadriplegic. He was an activist for medical research out of that experience. And he says, "Once you choose hope, anything is possible." Wow. Those words are powerful to carry, to write upon our heart, and to take forth into the week. And in closing, with Catherine Pulsifer, "Never give up, have hope, expect only the best from life, and take action to get it, friends." Live into that which is the unseen, the unknown, which is not something we like as human beings, but live into that. And begin to draw the new potentials and possibilities from limitless substance. So thanks everyone for joining in. Did we have any other comments, Susan, that I missed because I was in a thought? And okay, thank you. Yeah.
Before a big football game, I'm not a big fan, but half the people may be praying for Notre Dame and half the people may be praying for Michigan. So what does poor God do about that? Half the people are going to be disappointed.
So I hope nobody gets hurt. That's what I hope. And you're right, and it is an aspect that people bring up a lot, because is the outcome really about winning the game, or is it about, it kind of has become that in a lot of culture, American culture, other and cultures around the world for all kinds of things. Is that, though, the real outcome that we want to manifest from hope, or is it about unity and oneness? Is it about how do we play games? How do we participate? How do we compete without having to be better than in order to be okay? So that's a whole nother talk. Write down some notes, sweetie, because I'm going to have you be our next guest speaker on that very thing. because I absolutely, and that is very, very true of, you know, the opposing quote unquote prayers, but that's for something in our outer world outcome. Yeah. And you know that. Right. Versus us creating, playing the very best game we can play, each one who's out there. Yeah. Thank you.